Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Happy Monday. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show, the third day of February. And wow, so much going on, so much winning. I don't even know where to start. If you listen to the mainstream media, they're so depressed. Donald Trump is going to put tariffs on Canada. What are we going to do? We won't be able to get our maple syrup. What will we do? This is the biggest non-story of the year. Can I just tell you that? I know it's early in the year. This tariff situation, biggest non-story of the year. The only person likely to be impacted by this in our immediate vicinity would be Carl Middleman because of his annual trip to Canada. Yeah. Because he's probably going to put a tariff on those fishing lodges up there. And what are you going to do? Right? Carl's not talking.
Continue.
He's like, stop talking. Don't say that. We're going to keep going. Of course you're going to go. Of course, all that stuff is going to continue. Excuse me. All that stuff's going to continue. You don't have to worry about it. This is all much ado about nothing. Just mark my words for that. Donald Trump will continue winning because we are the 900-pound gorilla in the room. The Mexicans and the Canadians, 75 or 80% of their trade happens with us. This is a one-way street. So they will have to buckle and do what we want. There's just no doubt about that. So that's kind of where things are, if that is the big story that you're hearing in the mainstream media this morning. Most of the left-wing media outlets are leading with that news this morning. Kim, how are you? Doing all right?
Doing okay.
Yep. Carl, you doing all right? You have a good weekend?
I saw Disney on Ice 7 times, Mark.
Kim, you saw Disney on Ice too, right?
Yeah, it was good because I was telling Carl, it was my son Easton's birthday on Saturday. He turned 2, and I wanted to have a party for him. That was what I initially had been thinking about, and it just, with everything going on right now with our family, I wasn't up for it, and I didn't think I was up for Disney, but I'm so thankful that I went because it was a chance for me to kind of get my mind off everything and, you know, watch my son dancing to some of the songs. Like, he loves the You're Welcome song from Moana. And so it was nice to kind of get my mind off things and just smile.
Well, I'm glad you got to go enjoy that. I was planning originally to go downtown, Carl, to the RV show, which I'm certain was fantastic and just would have left me feeling bad that my RV is not as great as the RVs down there.
Ethan went yesterday.
And I would have wanted to buy a new one probably had I gone. But I had a last-minute opportunity on a gorgeous February day to go to the Lake of the Ozarks and go crappie fishing, and that's what I did yesterday. Got up really early, hitched a ride with my friend Bo Matthews and my friend Chuck Mayer, and we drove to the Lake of the Ozarks with Chuck's boat, and we fished for about 5 hours. It was great.
Did you catch anything?
Yeah, we caught a bunch of crappie. We caught probably 15 or 16 crappie. It took us a little while to find them, but once we found them, yeah, we caught them and filleted them and brought them home, and I'm going to cook them.
I think that's what's nice about the Lake of the Ozarks, is that it's something where you can just do a day trip.
I know.
We're blessed to have that lake that close to us.
Now, he lives down off 44, so we were in Camdenton in 2 hours, and on the lake, and then, you know, quick 2-hour trip back, and not bad at all, and we had a great day. And it's going to be more gorgeous today, I think, before reality sets back in and the temperatures drop and it gets cold. So make a plan to get outside and eat lunch or something today to just kind of take the winter drearies off if you didn't get out yesterday for some reason. Lots to get to, man. There's so much to get to this morning. I don't even know where to start. First of all, there's very, very bad polling numbers out for Mayor Tashara Jones. News Channel 5 released these. If you haven't seen them, now we have one of the mayoral candidates on this morning. Andrew Jones is running for mayor of St. Louis. He has run before. These polling numbers are really upside down for Tashara Jones, if they're real. We're going to talk about that this morning. And it looks like we may be in line for a new mayor in the city of St. Louis. At the end of the day, if that's Kara Spencer, I'm not 100% sure it's an upgrade, but at least it would remove the current mayor's father from dabbling in city politics, so that might make the whole thing worth it. We'll see. Bill Eigel's going to join us over the weekend. He was up for contention for the RNC job, the Missouri GOP job, heading the Republican Party in Missouri, and lost by like one vote to Peter Kinder, and that was close. The question is, what's he going to do next? He's still got some pretty big plans. We're going to talk to him at 7:08, where he's going to announce that this morning for you. Tom Ackerman, big weekend in college basketball. Mizzou's still doing really well. We got so much to get to. Let's start with some of our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We're talking about the Panama Canal. What they've done is terrible. They violated the agreement. They're not allowed to violate the agreement. We're going to take it back, or something very powerful is going to happen.
This is going to be huge. Again, imagine that. This is really kind of odd. A president of the United States stepping off of an airplane and spending 10 minutes taking any and all questions from the media. It's something we haven't seen in 4 years because Joe Biden was incapable of doing it. And the content was great as well. Did you see Panama make the turnaround and cancel its contracts with China? This is America first.
The American people have spoken. They are sick of the ridiculous performative politics. They want Americans, their leadership, Democrats and Republicans, to come together and actually get some things done.
That's what I'm talking about. J.D. Vance there this weekend with Maria Bartiromo, just kind of laying it out. I mean, the shock and awe from the mainstream media is getting a little tiring.
But I do think if you want to find a solution, you have to be honest about the problem. And the truth is, merit has taken a backseat to quotas.
Boy, man, that we're watching the death throes of DEI in this country. Were you paying attention this weekend? The left cannot stand it. Al Sharpton, Donna Brazile, they are on a roll trying to protect reverse discrimination.
Let's just take Super Bowl Sunday, okay? It's going to affect beer, okay? Most of it, Corona here, comes from Mexico.
Did you know, Carl, that most beer comes from Mexico?
I learned that this morning.
Wow. Just in case you're wondering, the man who serves raw hamburgers wants you to know that Donald Trump's big, mean tariffs on Mexico might mean that you have to pay more for your Corona or your Modelo or whatever it is you're buying for the Super Bowl. Do people only buy Mexican beer for the Super Bowl? That doesn't make any sense.
We're going to actually talk about that in Real or Fake News today.
Our friends at Anheuser-Busch might take issue with that. Now, although I'm sure they've got Mexican beer they're selling these days. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying a whole lot. Most of the beer, I would be willing to lay a bet right here on the air that most of the beer that is consumed around Super Bowl Sunday will be an Anheuser-Busch product or maybe Natty Light. I'm just saying. I think that's what a lot of it's going to be.
Bud Light was the number one for years. And
sure.
I remember when everything happened with Dylan Mulvaney. That was the first time
I want you guys to look this up because I'm actually going to.
Okay, well, all right. Well,
I think I know the beer that was
good.
Number one.
You can think that.
I have a perception of what that is, but regardless, we will we're going to watch this with fascination, folks, because the back to the issue of tariffs. The mainstream media is going to go out this morning. They even had Rick Newman on from the Wall Street Journal or whoever he's with, Yahoo Finance, I think, this morning on the Gordon Deal Show, talking about the people don't understand the real impact of these tariffs, and this is populism on the part of Donald Trump, and he's trying to take care of the working man. Wait a minute, I'm sorry, rewind the tape. Donald Trump, the Republican who just got elected president of the United States, is trying to take care of the working man? Hey, Rick, do you think maybe that's why the working man voted for him? He promised all of these things in the election. Nothing Donald Trump is doing is something he didn't tell you he was going to do as he ran for office. None of it. The DEI, the anti-DEI stuff, purging and cleansing the Department of Justice and the FBI of these rotten apples at the top of the barrel. He promised all of this. None of this is a surprise. And he also warned these countries that have been taking care of taking advantage of America on trade. This is going to end. I'm ending it. Panama, you've been abusing us in the canal. I'm ending it. There's so much happening at one time. The mainstream media is having a little bit of a mental health crisis here. They don't know what to do, so they just want to scream, bad, whatever he's doing, it's bad. Well, no, it's not bad. It's what the American people voted for. The tariffs are a tool. Do you understand? When you threaten tariffs on Canada and 80% of Canadian goods are sold to the United States. Think of that. They're a minor trade partner with us. Do you understand that? They cannot afford the Canadian dollar took a nosedive this morning because economically people realize financially what this means for Canada. Canada is either going to play ball or they're going to go into a recession. So despite what Fidel Castro's son claims, the one who's about to no longer be the prime minister of Canada, they will fall in line and they'll secure the border because they don't have a choice. And this is what Donald Trump campaigned on. America first. I'm going to make sure my people are taken care of. And we forgot that a long time ago in this country. All right, time for us to get to a quick break here. Carl Middleman.
Yeah.
First day of February for us here.
Yes.
Who's bringing us our national anthem?
St. Louis University Pep Band.
Hit it.
Quickly, I mean, we have to point out that the FAA aviation groups say that every pilot, every air traffic controller has to pass the same rigorous test. They have to meet exceedingly high standards. But bottom line, Senator, what I'm asking you, do you have any evidence whatsoever that diversity programs played a role in this crash? Because the president said he doesn't.
Well, no one has said that. But I do think if you want to find a solution, you have to be honest about the problem. And the truth is, merit has taken a backseat to quotas. That's
the
truth.
But, Senator, we don't know that's the problem in this case.
I think we can distinguish what the investigation in this case versus writ large. It's also true in our military. Pete Hegseth is going to get rid of DEI in the military. It's divisive. It's hurt recruiting. The same is true across the government. People don't want to sit through these struggle sessions with this race essentialism. And by the way, the federal government is being sued for discriminating against certain employees because of their race.
Yeah, the country's in for a rude awakening here this morning. You know, I'm going to play you a soundbite here a little later in the show from the mayor of Chicago. Now, everybody knows this Brandon Johnson guy is a communist. He's pretty much admitted he's a socialist, right? Somehow they went from the frying pan to the fire in Chicago. I have no idea. They got rid of the Beetlejuice, and they got this guy. And I watched him in an interview with Al Sharpton over the weekend where he basically looked into the camera and tried to argue that during the Depression, because white men were inordinately impacted. Now, bear in mind what the population in the United States was there in the 1930s, predominantly white, much more so than today. That because white men were predominantly affected by the Depression, that the United States government bent over backwards to make sure they were taken care of. They put new programs in place, and they did. Here they're trying to dig out of a recession, and I don't necessarily agree with how they did it. I got a lot of problems with some of the programs they created, don't get me wrong. But his argument is that they only reacted the way they did because it was white people who were affected by it, not citizens, white people. And his excuse, his argument is that DEI is the same thing, that apparently black people are depressed in a depression and you have to have DEI to pull them out of it. That was his parallel that he made this morning. This is what the insane left in this country thinks, that what happened during the depression was discrimination somehow, because the majority of people impacted by, because they are the majority of the population, were white, that must have been racist. So now you have to go 100% the opposite way and instill reverse discrimination, or it's not the same. I watched Donna Brazile this weekend getting into it with Reince Priebus. Now, Reince Priebus is not the strongest example of a Republican in the country, but you have to understand that when you're arguing with people who aren't, how do I say this gently? When you argue with people who don't have a full set of marbles, you have to understand, you have to be gentle. So I think Reince was trying to be gentle with her. Listen to her reaction to him talking about DEI and how it can't be a matter of reverse discrimination to supposedly make things better for ills that happened 100 years ago. Listen.
Sitting in a control tower.
That's not how it works.
All I'm saying, Don, is there's a difference between opportunity, which I agree with, and favoritism. That's all we're saying.
Well, I just want to reassure the American people that flying is safe. I've been on airplanes all my adult life.
It is.
And I have seen, I've been on a plane with two female pilots and say, wow, this is going to go fast.
I just want to let that hang out there for a minute. I've been on a plane with two female pilots, and I just want to, and I said, wow, this is going to go fast. That was her, you know, epiphany from being on an airplane with two female pilots. Mm-hmm. Nobody's saying that there can't be two female pilots great pilots.
It's if they were hired based on that they're women as well.
How were they? Mm-hmm. Were they hired to fill a quota? And if that's the reason, then it needs to stop, because we don't know yet what caused the crash in D.C. It's becoming a little more apparent now, and I think they'll have answers this week. But DEI has got to stop, and the Trump administration apparently is the administration that's going to accomplish that. All right, we're going to be back with Kim on a Whim right after this.
Kim on a Whim.
So this weekend, I watched the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson for the very first time. You know, I was telling you not that long ago that I'd been doing history with my parents. You know, every Wednesday, I would go to their house and we would do a Bible study and then we would do history. Because,
right.
You learn it in high school, and I didn't care back then. And now I care, and it means so much more to me, and it saddens me that I have forgotten so much of just basic history. So I was in the process of just going over stuff, and it was really fun to be able to talk about some of that stuff and relearn some of these things. And so I think some of these movies have more of an impact on me now, having gone over a lot of this, and just, gosh, watching the destruction, just how ruthless the British were and burning these people homes. And I know this is Hollywooded up, but I'm sure a lot of this happened. And I just, you know, I watch movies like that, and I don't remember what year The Patriot came out, but it was years ago, right? And I just think about classic, 90, was it 90s?
91, 92,
right,
something
now.
Like that, Carl. Carl will tell us in a minute.
You guys have both seen that movie, right?
Oh, my God, many times.
It's a great movie.
It's one of the movies that I'll stop and watch again, like Braveheart or Rocky, if I'm switching around.
2000.
Was it 2000?
Okay. Heath Ledger was still alive.
Yeah, gosh. Yeah. I don't know how old Heath Ledger was in that movie Gabriel, but he was phenomenal in that. And I every time I watch a movie like that, I just think about how sad I am at the state of Hollywood right now. And I know I've talked about this before, but I was reminded of that yesterday. And I don't watch the Grammys. I have no interest in any of those award shows. But of course, everyone's posting about it and you see the headlines. And one of the headlines that caught my attention was Kanye West and his wife, who showed up to the Grammys last night. They walked
nude.
The red carpet
she
and then
naked.
They left. Well, I heard that, I don't know if this is true. You never really know what's true, but the article I read was, no, they weren't really kicked out, because I would think that would qualify as indecent exposure. That should not have been allowed. You should not be allowed to walk completely naked on a red carpet. That is entirely inappropriate.
She had a piece of clothing on.
It was completely sheer.
I saw it.
She was naked. There was nothing that you couldn't see.
Well, I mean, I think the definition of naked is that you don't have anything on. So she had something on.
She had something on, but it didn't matter because you could see everything as if she were naked.
The loosest definition of clothing.
Yes.
Let's not use that terminology right now, but go ahead, please.
You guys have heard me talk about modesty and just how saddened I am at the state of how people dress, how women dress, and feeling like you need to expose everything and that somehow increases your value, and it actually decreases your value, and it tells people how you want to be treated. And, you know, I didn't feel that way years ago, and I've changed my stance on that. And I just, you know, Donald Trump had named Mel Gibson, which is why I was kind of thinking about all of this, but he named Mel Gibson, remember, and Sylvester Stallone, and then was it John Voight as ambassadors to Hollywood. And I was listening to an interview that Mel Gibson did with Sean Hannity recently, and it was kind of funny because Gibson says, yeah, I found out at the same time as you guys. It wasn't like Trump reached out to me beforehand. I basically found out it, you know, on Twitter or wherever it was, you know, Truth Social, that he was ambassador to Hollywood. And it sounds like the main purpose of that role, although it's not super clear at this point, but is really to get people to stop leaving Hollywood, to get people to stop leaving California because of all these crazy regulations and crazy prices people are paying for everything there. I mean, people can't afford it.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
I thought his role would be to try to turn around the wokeness, because if you go woke, you go broke. I mean, Hollywood should have learned that lesson, but they haven't. They keep turning out multi-million-dollar movies that never make any money at the box office because people know it's just garbage.
That was my hope, and maybe that's a component to it, but what he was talking about was stopping people from leaving California. So that surprised me a little bit. To your point, Mark, I mean, that is what I'm hoping for. When I look at the Grammys and the direction we're going with our movies and these classic films that are just trash now, many of them, not all of them, there have been some phenomenal movies that have come out that I think will be considered classics at some point. But I'm just sad just watching what comes out these days. But anyway, I want you to hear part of this interview. And this just goes to show you how backwards it is of people who are trying to invest in the United States, specifically in California, and they make it so darn difficult.
I mean, I had to shoot a film for one day in L.A., and it was cheaper for me to take the whole crew and fly them to Europe and shoot for 3 days, lodge them, fly them, everything, than it was to shoot one day just down the road. So
what?
There's something wrong there. And I think there are solutions. I know Arnold tried to level a playing field years ago. He couldn't do it because there were obstacles. He tried, though.
Isn't that sad? It was cheaper for him to fly his entire crew and pay for lodging to go to Europe for a few days
to shoot.
Cheaper than one day of shooting basically in their backyard.
Is that because of regulations and expenses,
all the stupid things that California
fees and all that stuff. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, and Gibson,
it's
by the way, just lost his, it is. He just lost his home, by the way, in a fire.
He's a member of SAG-AFTRA.
Well, you have to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. You really don't have a choice. And I think a lot of these actors have been speaking out and frustrated probably with the way things have been going down.
Yeah.
But something needs to change. There's just so much that's gone wrong in Hollywood, in California, in our country as a whole. And you were playing that soundbite earlier that Trump's not doing anything that he didn't
right.
promise on the campaign trail.
That's
like,
a good point.
You know, I understand if you're mad about this, if you don't like Donald Trump and you voted for Kamala, I completely understand why this is very frustrating. Just like the 1,000 or so people who were out there protesting here in the streets of St. Louis on Saturday, mad about his immigration policies and what he's been doing to try to close our border. But you shouldn't be surprised by it. You know, again, I empathize if you're angry, but I do not if you're surprised. You should not be caught off guard by this.
No, you shouldn't. And Kim, I just want to point something out here before we run out of time. Did you realize that the Patriot is a love story?
Of course you're going to try to. It is kind of a love story.
It is a love story. It, and you know, the other message from that movie that is should be very relevant to every big stater out there, everybody who thinks bigger government is always the answer, is that Americans from their beginnings can only be pushed so far. And then the Patriots stand up and they say no more.
Mm-hmm.
And Mel Gibson in that movie was a perfect example of that. He didn't want to fight.
Mm-hmm.
He had put away his axes and all that from the Indian Wars and all that. He'd put all that stuff in a chest and had it locked until they came in and they murdered his wife and his child, and that pushed him over the edge, and then he went on a tear. And it may not all be exactly historical, but it's a great representation of the character of the men who founded this country.
Mm-hmm.
The men and women.
And I think that's where we're going. I think a lot of people who may never have been involved in politics, wanted nothing to do with politics, they've realized that it's on their front door now. It's affecting their kids. It's affecting what they're learning. It's affecting every facet of their life. And so it's kind of like the situation with Mel Gibson, where it's, for so long it was okay to maybe say, well, I'm not saying it was right, but maybe we're sitting there saying, you know, we don't want to get involved. It's too stressful. I don't want to have to deal with that and go to city council meetings and go to the school board meetings. But it's on our front porch. And we basically have to get out there and fight. And I really hope it doesn't come down to violence, but you can only get pushed around so much, and the Biden administration was getting a lot of people to their breaking point.
I think you're right. The voter, it was reflected in the voters. Look what the Democrats did this weekend. They had a competition for the new leaders of the DNC. Now, this is the party of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
They're so crazy that, I don't want to change the subject here, but they're so crazy that during the debate, They have rules where you have to have gender equality in the slate of candidates. And at the end of all of that, of them all getting up and exclaiming their wokeness and why you should support me for vice chair or me for chair, they ended up selecting two white men to run the DNC. One of them from the director of the Minnesota State Democratic Party, a guy I've never heard of before. And for associate chair, vice chair, they picked David Hogg, that nut job, that anti-gun nut job from the Parkland school shooting in Florida, who wasn't there that day, who didn't get shot or anything, but he's been a big anti-gunner since that happened. And this 25-year-old, or however old he is now, is the one they selected to be the vice chair. So they still don't get, to your point, they still don't understand. They still don't get what happened in November.
Well, yeah, I mean, Trump didn't just win the electoral vote.
Thank
you. He won the popular vote. So
he did. People are tired of it.
People are tired of it. More than half the country wants this, and people don't want to believe that because they just look at this as, well, you have to be empathetic, and in their mind, I call it toxic empathy, but that means allowing anyone into our country,
anyone.
And that's just a lie.
I watched over the weekend, I'm not going to mention names, I got into it with a liberal over the, they were complaining about, you know, how evil Trump is and he hates trans people and he's messing with Canada now. And they showed a picture of Justin Trudeau and they can't believe he did this. And I'm like, here's my message to you. I'm like a pilot on an airplane. The fasten seatbelt sign is on. If you're a liberal, the fasten seatbelt sign is on. Just sit down and fasten your seatbelt because there's nothing you can do about it. And for 4 years, we're going to try to reset this country back to common sense. And every little thing can't drive you crazy, or you're going to get up out of your seat and try to jump off the airplane.
Well,
don't do that.
They're acting like we didn't feel this way for the last 4 years. Yeah. Like, we just endured this. And you know what? We got through.
That's
right. We survived it. You will survive, too.
And it will no doubt go back the other way at some point. But for now, we're going to try to get some stuff accomplished. All right. Quick break here. I want to talk about something fantastic I listened to over the weekend. And I'll play you a clip from it when we come back. Stay tuned.
Just this astronomical sum of money that, like, yeah, of course I'll do it. There were a few caveats to that that they found out later. But, yeah, oh, yeah. So from that point, they were, poof, they were gone.
Dang.
They immediately went on tour with Alan Freed.
Well, yeah, I have to tell you, I don't know if Sue Thomas is listening to us this morning, but I listened to her entire episode of History of the Lou with Sue this weekend with Chuck Berry's son, Chuck Edward Berry
Junior.
And Sue Thomas, that is a fantastic podcast. I hope everybody goes and downloads this who might have forgotten their history of Chuck Berry.
Thanks for saying so, Mark. It was a fun one to do, and he's such a nice guy, and he knows the whole story, and the whole story is mind-blowing, isn't it?
Well, it is, and, you know, here's the thing about it. The show's an hour, and you ran out of time to talk to him about all of the stuff. I'm hearing you at the end saying, you know, Charles, I'm not going to have enough time to get to everything. Like, how do we fit it all in?
Yes.
And then at the end realize that we're coming up on the 100th birthday of Chuck Berry.
Yep.
The certainly, if not the king of rock and roll, the father, one of the fathers of rock and roll in the United States. There's no doubt about that.
And the fact that he was put into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, first class to go in, of course, because he's one of the founders of rock and roll, but by Keith Richards.
Yeah.
Of the Rolling Stones, whose mind was so blown by how great he was, he wanted to induct him into the Hall of Fame. It's an amazing story from a guy from the Ville in St. Louis.
Yeah. Well, I just want to bring it up again because enjoyed listening to that this weekend. I listened to the podcast, not the actual, not on our radio station because it wasn't on at the time, and I wanted to hear it. And you sent me a link to it, so I hope people will. I'm going to repost the link up on the Facebook page, so people can find it and listen to it. And you know, like the stories about, you always hear about these big rock stars getting taken advantage of in these record contracts, right?
Yeah.
I recently read the book by Alex Van Halen, and they experienced some of that same stuff too, where you're so excited to be a new star,
yeah.
You just want to play music, and you go in and you sign on the dotted line without reading all the fine print, and then you realize that they've stolen your stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
And
you don't
have
the rights to it anymore.
That happened to Chuck, right?
It did, and he had to hire a really highfalutin lawyer to get that taken care of. But, you know, he was saying it happened to a lot of people, just like you said, during that era. It's just, wow.
Well, I hope I'll post it up. I'll get the link here, and I'll post it up on the Facebook page so everybody who's listening to us this morning can go on and hear it for themselves. But great job. I mean,
thanks, Mark.
Yeah, fantastic.
He was a great guest,
Oh, yeah. I appreciate it, Sue. Thank you. And, Sue's got a bunch of those episodes on our podcast of other great things, but the one for Chuck Berry, I don't know why that one just struck me as I had to listen to it because I've always been a fan of Chuck Berry's, and his son is just over the top. I mean, the guy is just, he's fantastic. He's like somebody you want to sit down and drink a beer with.
Oh, 100%. And he's so nice. I sent him a link to that. He actually said, Sue, I love this, in all caps, and then said, can I post it to social media? And
I was can
like,
I?
Yes. I mean, that's how nice and polite. It's so great. What a great guy.
Yeah. All right. The link is up there to the podcast on the Facebook page. If you're on Facebook this morning, you can find that link if you haven't had a chance to listen to that. Sue, thank you. Keep up the great work.
Oh, thanks.
You bet. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. The Van Halen brothers experienced this. A lot of rock and rollers experienced that. And, I mean, imagine having all of your work, like not being able to get paid when people play your music or if other bands copied your music and not being able to get any money for it. It's just crazy how they took advantage of people at one time, and clearly
they used to
people
add themselves as, oh, I helped write that song.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
No, just to get cash, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because the songwriters are the ones that get paid.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, just rotten. About as rotten as St. Louis politics. Sometimes I watched Mark Maxwell. I don't know the guy. I think maybe I met him once. He's the investigative reporter for Channel 5. He did a good job covering the story last week when they're trying to get this Rams settlement case through. We're going to talk more about this next hour, but they're trying to get this Rams settlement case through, and you know, it includes all of these handouts for people in North St. Louis and down some for downtown, but not as much as they should have. And they missed a golden opportunity for matching funds from Civic Progress. And it's just crazy. And Megan Green, who is the president of the Board of Aldermen, got so mad that people were challenging the little plan that they'd worked out that she shut down debate on Friday and stormed out. She took her toys and went home. And said, if you want to play, we'll play. If you want to play games, I'll play games with you. And she accused one of the aldermen of being drunk, which she is now, she's backed away from that and issued an apology because the guy's threatened to sue her for defamation. I mean, it's a complete train wreck down there. Now there's new polling out in the mayor's race, which could upset the apple cart even more for St. Louis City Democrats. We'll find out more. We've got Andrew Jones, who's running for mayor in the city. He's the Republican candidate. He's going to join us about 7:35 this morning to talk about all of that. Next hour, Hans von Spakovsky. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.